Then also we know it will be worth it because Christ's judgment is going to be very swift. In that verse 8 and 9, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how rejecting the gospel is disobedience? You are turning your back on the very thing you should do, and you will be punished for that. And in verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're turning to 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at the great command to remember the Lord until he comes. And as mentioned before in our previous programs, that in each chapter of Thessalonians, both 1 Thessalonians and the second epistle, the Lord's coming is mentioned in every chapter. Let's read here together in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So after reading the scriptures here, we're going to move to our pulpit ministry on this message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You'll see how they were a group of churches. It wasn't just one isolated church living to itself. This group of believers, their word, their testimony, was making an impact. And they were becoming encouragers. And they were able to tell the story which rejoiced God's people everywhere in the churches of God for your patience. And patience simply means patient continuance. Now, when you go to the doctor's office and you're a patient, you wonder, does that mean you sit in the corner for an hour, or are you a client that the doctor considers for help? You do need a lot of patience these days when you go for a medical appointment. You could sit for hours, and you need patience to wait it out. But patience here is that enduring, continuing. They made a profession. Jesus is the Christ. We have discovered who the Messiah is. And the Jews, who should have made that discovery, because they had all the history and the heritage, the oracles of God and the Old Testament, but the Greeks and those notable women that were mentioned in Acts 17, they made a profession. And when the Jews drove Paul and Silas out and found in Berea and went after them, these Christians continued on. persevered. They didn't go back and say, well, that was a dumb idea to think that Jesus was the Christ. No, that now was their profession which they held to. You'll notice that there is reference here to their patience and faith. Faith. They believed Jesus is the Christ. Do you? Have you made it known that Jesus is your Savior? That He's the one that can save you from your sins and make you a child of God and bring you one day to glory? Then you are called to continue in that. The next word in this passage is the word endure, and literally means to hold yourself up. Hold yourself up. Brace yourself in the midst of the storm. I remember as a boy on the farm, we were kind of in rolling countryside. There were hilly fields and so on. And there were certain areas where the wind would catch and the wind would be strong. And you could lean into the wind. You could just fall right into the wind and it would blow you back or hold you up. That's what this word here means, to endure. In spite of the blast, in spite of the opposition, to stand fast, lean into it. In a sense, embrace it as part of being a Christian. Just don't run away from it and say, that's not for me. You know, that changes everything, you know. That changes your attitude. It changes your expectation. It changes your testimony. When you are actually when someone says, you know, did you hear about the gospel today again? What are you going to say in response? Embrace it and say, do you know what we did? And it fixed my heart and it blessed my soul. There is a Christian's response to the mockery, the scorn of the ungodly. And that's how these Christians kept on. They endured. Now remember also that they were first generation Christians. They had no parents or grandparents who would be an example to them. They had no one to look to and say, well, we need leadership in this. What do we do? What do we say? These were all babies in the faith. And the marvel is that the Spirit of God poured grace and strength into their hearts, that they were all standing strong for the Lord. Are we doing that? Are we all standing strong, even though, well, there's no props, no one to lean on? And that's God's grace that keeps us going. Now, we also know it's worth it because God is righteous. And I'm going to read verses 5 and 6, and you'll notice how the word righteous comes up at least twice here, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It's no strange thing. It is the thing that we must expect. There is no doubt that God will mete out fury one day upon mockers, persecutors, rejecters of the gospel. And that which you are bearing now is nothing to the fury of God upon the wicked on that terrible day. And there is a payday someday. And it's a great thing to be on the right side of this. And the sneering that we are receiving now is nothing to the fury of a righteous God taking vengeance on them that oppose Him. Now, God takes this personally. God is righteous, and He takes responsibility for vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Payday someday is God's business. It's not my business. I am to witness, and I'm to endure, and I am to embrace every opportunity, even though it may be hostile. And I will be a witness for Christ. But the repaying, that's God's business, because He's righteous, and He will. And we leave that with God. Now, God takes this personally because every time that someone touches a Christian, they touch the Lord. I want to show you this in Acts 9, verse 4, where you have Saul of Tarsus persecuting the church. Acts 9 and verse 4. And when that bright light shone upon Saul of Tarsus, he fell to the earth, that's verse 4. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now here is the Lord of glory shining upon Saul of Tarsus. And he said, you're not just persecuting the church. You're not just harming certain individuals who call themselves Christians. You're persecuting me. Now it is a blessed thing, and I put it this way deliberately, it is a blessed thing to suffer for Jesus' sake. And we turn this into a means of identifying and indeed of our communion with Christ. When we get the rejection of the world, the cold shoulder, the scoffing, the sneering, the hatred of the world, we unite with our Lord Jesus. Because not only have they touched us, they've touched the Son of God. They have blasphemed his name. They have derided his grace and his goodness and his love. And we are driven to unite with our Lord Jesus. And you know what? That's good for us. That becomes good for us. Anything that drives us to unite with our Lord becomes a means of grace. It's not destroying us at all. It's uniting us in a union and a fellowship with the Son of God. Whereas if the world, and they do this deceptively by times, the world deceptively will come and say, well, look, you know, you can be a Christian and join us too. Ah, that is much more dangerous, much more wily in stealing away the testimony and the stand and your union with the Lord Jesus. We can say then that all forms of harassment and trouble against the people of God are felt by the shepherd of our souls. He feels what we go through. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? And that at his coming, he will put it right. Now we move then to verse 8, and we know that it will be worth it because Christ shall return with his angels. We're told that in verse 8. Well, verse 7, firstly, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. That word revealed is the Greek word apokalypsis, and it's the opening of a curtain. And on that day, the heavens and all the glory of the Savior that is now out of view to the natural eye, the curtain will be opened and all the heavenly will be revealed. And the glory of the Lord shall be made known. And then the angels, what is their task? Well, they shall be sent into all the corners of the earth to reap. You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares, and how the husbandman said, let both grow together. And the workers, they watched these tares growing side by side with the wheat until harvest day. And when the harvest day came, what did they do? They separated the wheat from the tares. The tares were put into bundles to be burned, and the wheat was gathered into the barn. And on that day of harvest, the angels will go to work, and they will gather in the saints, but they will bundle the wicked for destruction. On that day, it will be worth it to be a Christian when we are gathered in. I wonder, are you saved? Are you ready for that day when the trumpet sounds and the heavens open, Christ returns, and your name will be called? Are you saved? That's important. And then also we know it will be worth it because Christ's judgment is going to be very swift. In that verse 8 and 9, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see how rejecting the gospel is disobedience? You are turning your back on the very thing you should do, and you will be punished for that. And in verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. Every foe will be vanquished by the fiery glory of the Lord Jesus, and it will be worth it to be a Christian on that day when Christ returns and swift judgment is meted out. Now, next week we'll deal with this more thoroughly, but I do not believe that there's going to be a two-stage coming of our Lord Jesus. I do not see in these epistles, nor do I see in the parables of the Lord Jesus, that there's going to be a different day when the saints are gathered with Christ and a different day when the wicked are brought out. I see that as one great event with two effects. Christ appears. There is that, you remember what we learned in 1 Thessalonians 4? There is the shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. It is not silent. It's not secretive. It's sudden. And it has the twofold effect of gathering the saints and judging the wicked immediately. And we need to be ready for that day. And on that day when the Lord separates the righteous from the wicked and gathers in his people, it will be worth it. You see, we're waiting for the coming of the Son. And when we take this communion, we take this cup and bread, demonstrating, this is my hope. This is my expectation. Jesus is coming for me. And I'm on the side of grace and glory. I'm ready. Ready to be received by the Lord into glory. Now, each one who puts their hand to that cup and bread are saying that. That's your testimony. If you're not saved, if you're a rejecter of the Lord Jesus and you're disobedient to the gospel, how can you take that cup and bread and demonstrate such a thing? It would be a lie. It would be wrong. But we would urge you to receive the Lord as your Savior and take this genuinely as your faith, an expression of your hope in the Lord Jesus. Fifthly, and finally here, we know it will be worth it, because the full and final purpose of Christ's return is to be glorified in his saints. We move to verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, did you notice something? That this language of the apostle goes from verse 3 to verse 10 as one block. No breaks in between. You'll see that our translators put no periods at the end of any statement. There are conjunction terms right from verse 3 to verse 10. It's all going to happen in one. And we, the purpose of it all, that we are going to admire the Lord. That's what the purpose statement in verse 10 says. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. I have a large quote here from Matthew Henry, but it really just adds up to this. We're going to bask in the glory of the Lord Jesus and enjoy it to the full, because we're going to be changed into his image. We'll be changed first into his glorious image. And then we will be capacitated, we will be equipped to enjoy the glory of the Lord. What is hell, what is tribulation, what is terror to the wicked will be blessed to the Christian. And we will gaze upon our Lord Jesus. You remember we learned that in John 17? That where Jesus prayed that the glory that was between the Father and the Son would be in them. That's how Jesus prayed in John 17. And that's the final purpose. That we would be glorified, these bodies of ours, these whole beings of ours will be glorified to such an enjoyment of His glory. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why every Christian wants to be holy. That's why we want to be changed. That's why we're not happy with the status quo of our sinful nature. We come to this communion table as a means of grace. Lord, change me. Lord, make me more like my Lord Jesus. I want this communion to be a little bit of heaven to me. I want to be changed, my Lord. I want to be more like my Savior. Lord, do that work in my heart. Take away the love of sin. Take away the grip of sin. Take away all the plague of sin. And make me an overcomer by making me conform to the image of the Lord Jesus. And in this world, that's all part of sanctification. And it's progressive and it's ongoing. And it's the burden of the true believer to be changed into the image of Christ. But it will not finally happen until the trumpet sounds. And we are glorified, changed into His wonderful and holy presence. This do till He come. Keep on looking to Jesus. Keep on using the means of grace to be changed. Keep on asking the Lord to dwell with us and make us as holy as is possible this side of glory. Would you pray that prayer? Let me say it again. Lord, make me as holy as possible this side of glory. I'd love to hear you pray that prayer. I'd love to have you in the church prayer meeting any hour and saying, Lord, make me as holy as possible this side of glory. That's what it's all about. And may this communion table be a part of that. And we invite Christians to come and enjoy it here today. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. May the Lord minister to your heart. May the Lord write these precious things on your soul today.
It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will story saved by grace, and I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. I shall look on His face. That will
past eternity I'll spend, triumphant in His grace, triumphant in His grace. Hallelujah, amen.
Well, I hope you have been blessed through the ministry of the Lord's Word already today on the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, let's just take note that it will matter on that day if you be a Christian, because the Lord is coming for His own. He is coming for His saints. He's coming for those who are redeemed and saved, that He will gather them home. To be out of Christ, to be without a Savior, will mean that you are under God's wrath and that you will be judged on that great day. That day when Christ appears, the trumpet will sound, the Lord will come in glory, and you need to be saved. And I beg with you today to prepare. I trust that you will call on the Lord to be your Redeemer and to be your Savior. And I want to offer you my help. I want to offer you literature, encouragement. We have magazines and a booklet called A New Beginning, and you can go to our website and read this material as well. And you can search the way of God's salvation, but do not neglect your soul, because all men need to be saved, all men have sinned, all men need a Savior, and all men need to be made ready for that day when Christ comes. And that includes you. No one is an exception to that gospel rule. You must be saved. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He will have no part in it whatsoever. And so the gospel call is urgent, and it's personal, and it calls you to turn to the Lord Jesus and call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. Now stay tuned for these closing
alerts. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.